How should we respond when unbelievers blaspheme our Lord's name? I especially find it upsetting when people misuse the name of Jesus or Jesus Christ. Also, how should we act in the workplace, e.g. if our boss or employer does this? I'm assuming he means if they blaspheme the Lord's name. How do we still show respect, and do we have an obligation to make a stand for our Lord? There's a verse that I often think about. Grab your Bibles and go all the way back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. You know, the 1 Samuel starts basically with Hannah and the birth of Samuel. Hannah gives Samuel to Eli for the service of the Lord. We remember Eli. Perhaps you all remember him. He was the fat man. He was the big, fat descendant of Aaron's, the high priest. And he had two sons who were wicked. And when you look in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27, there came a man of God to Eli and said to him, "Thus the Lord has said, did I indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, subject to the house of Pharaoh? Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? I gave to the house of your father all my offerings by fire from the people of Israel. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded, and honor your sons above me?" Now that's key. And I know we're talking about how we use God's name, but I just want to deal with the word honor. Notice that. You honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, "I promised that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me." Now notice this. "For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." That is the principle that we need to carry about. In fact, when I do pre-marriage counseling, I take a young man and a young woman who want to get married to this verse, because I tell them whatever they do in their marriage, honor the Lord. I would say this with regards to a church. Whatever you do, seek to honor the Lord. And of course, this has to do with how the Lord's name is used. And I would just say that. Honor the Lord. When it comes to the Lord's name being blasphemed or being used in vain, and just think, vain. What is vain? Anybody take a stab at what does vain mean? Because that's the commandment, right? Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does vain mean?
Empty.
Empty. Exactly. It just means empty. It means you empty God's name of significance. You treat it like it's nothing. It's empty. It's insignificant. And so I would say this. As Christians, I would just, brethren, when I first got saved, I went to a church, and you have to recognize, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything. I mean, the first church I ever attended was a little Pentecostal church, and they sang Amazing Grace, and I was amazed. I thought that was the greatest song I'd ever heard. The pastor, he spoke in tongues and he ran circles around the pulpit. I didn't know what to make of it. Because again, I had been a nominal Catholic. I didn't know anything. I didn't have anybody really mentoring me. I was listening to John MacArthur on tape and on the radio, but I didn't know anything. I didn't have anybody in my family. There was a couple of young guys in the church, Craig and Rod, or I mean at work, that I worked with, and they were telling me some things, but they knew just about as little as I did. So I'm reading my Bible. I'm trying to learn. And I just felt like, nah, there's something wrong here. So I went to a bigger church. And I remember I walked up to this building and it was huge. And I thought, wow, if God's in any place, he's got to be in this place. And I went in and I was all expectant and I got involved in this youth group. Well, youth group. It was singles group. So it was basically their kind of young adult singles. I got involved with these folks and I'd go, we did things together. We canoed together. We went out to eat together. we'd get together and we got together one evening and they wanted to go see a movie. Okay, well, you know, I'm interested in meeting these young people. I'm interested in finding ones that really fear the Lord. I mean, I'm hungry at that time. We went to this movie. This movie just blasphemed the name of the Lord over and over and over and over. When we got back home that night, I was so grieved. And I said to the other people, didn't that bother you? And I remember distinctly, there was a young lady there who said, oh, I didn't even notice. I would just say this, if God has saved us and opened our eyes to his glory, just the fact that he saved us, just the fact that he would sacrifice so much on our behalf, I mean, we would never allow our wife's name or our husband's name or our children's name to be dragged through the mud like this. And Christ has done far more for us. I was grieved and I basically determined I am not going to allow that. I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to go to movies like that. I am not going to expose myself needlessly to the Lord's name being just dragged through the mud. But now I recognize the question has to do with, you know, how do we deal with others when we're in the workplace? What should our responsibility be? Well, I would just come back to that principle. The Lord honors those who honor him. And I think we need to live to honor it. You remember what? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, because I mean, this is pretty important. This is, again, it's a basic principle for how we ought to be living as Christians. Ephesians chapter 5, the apostle says this in Ephesians 5:5, you may be sure of this. Everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now notice, therefore do not become partners or partakers with them. For one time, or once, formerly, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This is what I want you to see, verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So, I mean, one of the things that God has put us in the world for, remember the Sermon on the Mount. We're to be salt and light. You're going to be salt and light only as much as, think about what salt is to rotting meat. It's a preservative. Think about what light does in darkness. It makes manifest. That's the issue. What we want to do, look, it's not just that when somebody blasphemes his name, that we just simply want to tell the person, you know, you've offended me. It's not just that kind of thing. It's the issue is that we want to honor the Lord. The issue is that we recognize that people who blaspheme his name like that, they don't know what they do. And what being light to the people is telling them what they're doing. You all remember Leslie Smith? Did he ever come over to your church and preach? I think he did, right? Your church may have been the last place he ever preached, actually. I introduced Kevin to Leslie. He came over here years ago. We had him in our home. Really appreciated that, brother. And I would call him when he was in the nursing home before he went to be with the Lord. And he told me that a couple of the nurses were bathing him and they were using the Lord's name in vain. And you remember his gentle way. He just said, oh no, you mustn't use the name of your creator like that. And he was telling me about this and, but just so gracious. Now look, I told you about Craig. Craig's one of my fellow elders here. Craig and I used to work together up in Michigan. Craig's worked various different places around here. He used to work over in Seguin, which is, I don't know, 30 miles east of here. And he worked for this company, and he'd go out into the factory, and he'd go back to the tool room. And there was a guy, there was a tool room attendant back there that just had a foul mouth. And this guy would just shamelessly use the name of the Lord. And Craig, one time, Craig just simply said that the Lord will not hold him guiltless who uses his name in vain. And he said the guy just went off on him. And so I would just say this, that if any name ought to be respected and honored, it's his name. And I'll just tell you this. I don't think we have to walk through life dealing with every single situation. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily what the Lord's called us to do. I mean, I even think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord can go to the five pools or the five colonnades at the pool of Bethesda there in John 5. And you know, he walks through a crowd of crippled people. He walks through a crowd of broken people. And you know what? He only stops and dialogues with one of them and heals him and goes on his way. He didn't heal everybody there at the pool that day. What's my point? My point is this. I think we need to be open to be led by the Lord. I don't think we have to go through life and simply every time we see some sin, every time we see anybody do anything wrong in the world, we have to just bolt over, and our primary responsibility has to be to expose their sin. But I do think we need to be light. I do think that we need to be open to confront people when, you know what? I worked up in Michigan at a company, and the vice president there had the most filthy, foul mouth you can imagine. And I never said anything to him. And once I moved down here, I felt convicted by that. I wrote him a letter. And it wasn't condemning him. I mean, look, people that use the Lord's name wrongly, we come from the same stock. What we want to do is not just blast them. It's an opportune time for us to take the gospel to them. And you know, when they were putting to death the Son of God, Jesus said, Father, they know not what they do. How much more do they not know what they do when they do, you know, when they're not killing him, but they're just desecrating his name. But I mean, look, if you're in the workplace, whether it's filthy jokes or somebody blaspheming the Lord's name, you don't want to partake of that. You don't want to smile at that. You don't want to in any way show that you approve of that. I think we need to live as people who are going to go through this world, and we're going to seek to honor the Lord. I remember one time when I worked up in Michigan, we got the Madison Square Garden job in New York City. And I remember being over there. I remember being in the garden, and I heard one of the workers just horribly blaspheme Christ's name. And I don't even know, I mean, it was off on the other end of the stadium, and I don't even know that I specifically saw the guy who did it, but it just like sends this cringe through me. But yeah, we're supposed to be light. And so I would just say that. Do we have to expose sin in every single person when we see it? I think we needed to be guided by the Lord. I think we need to be open to doing it. I mean, look, I would just say this. I think we all know what it feels like to be prompted by the Spirit of God to do something and not out of fear not do it. And I don't think we want to be people that, I don't think we want to be those people. I think when we feel prompted by the Spirit, like you need to go do this, we need to bow, even though we do it with fear and trembling. And even though they may react it like they did to Craig, I'll tell you this, even if you go over and you rebuke that guy for using the Lord's name like that, he explode on you. I guarantee you that's very pleasing to the Lord. And I would just say this, that's a promise there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, that those who honor him, he will honor. I would just ask you this. Do you want to be honored by the Lord? I do. I mean, that would be my greatest desire in life. I want God to honor me. I want God to help me. I want God to approve of me. I want God to bless me. I want God to draw close. I want that. I want to be honored by him. I want to be exalted by him. I want that. I think you all want that too. And obviously you see that those who don't honor him are lightly esteemed. And that's the point. Eli was not honoring him. So whatever aspect of life it is, we want to live so as to honor him and please him. Because you see what happens to men that don't. Basically, Eli was being stripped of, well, his sons were killed, the ark was lost, he himself died, and in the future, you know, Zadok replaced Abimelech as being having precedence there among the offspring of Aaron. Anything else on that one?